All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set to compete at Unified MMA 47, and that transpires on December the 2nd. It is a lightweight clash with Shawn Michaels and Ramil Kamilov testing skills, and excited to be having Ramil on the show once again. How's your day going so far, man? You getting some good training earlier?
Yeah, my day's good. I already got two training sessions in.
Nice. What were you working on just a bit earlier there?
6 a.m. I got some of my sprints in, so some cardio work. And just now I'm getting home from the gym. I'm just driving over. Just finished my session, power session today. So explosive stuff. I'll have a more of a strength session on Wednesday.
No, that's awesome, man. I'm wondering, though, like how excited you are to get to compete in Calgary again. Like, I know it's not completely uncommon for you in your career. Like, you had that absolute MMA fight as well. But how's it feel and get to compete under the Unified MMA banner in Calgary? Because, I mean, a lot of people very justifiably think it's like the premier show in the country right now.
Yeah, I'm happy to be fighting in my city once again. This may be the last time that I fight in Calgary for a little while, because after talking with my management, if I win this fight, I may have a chance to sign with the top five worldwide division. So we'll see, you know, how my career plans out after this. If I get to, or when, rather, I get to go back and fight in Calgary again. So I'm really putting on the work and really excited to put on the show over here.
Yeah, I take it that's not something you can give specifics on, I guess, like that, you know, next step you could vault yourself towards. I guess that's something you have to be kind of hush-hush about, and I guess it's predicated on this fight, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's no point in looking past my opponent right now, so all the focus is on him right now, all the focus is on this fight.
Yeah, and I mean, you seem very much keyed in on the fight. Like, you had that post where you were saying two undefeated professionals squaring up. So, I mean, you very much know what this guy brings to the table, I would think. And you've never struck me as a guy that overlooks the immediate task either.
Yeah, I know. I've been watching Shawn Michaels even before, rather Shawn Nawash, even before my amateur debut. And when I did make my amateur debut, he won the Hard Knocks belt. We fought on the same card, so I've always been looking at this fight. And he knows, you know, we got a lot of mutual connections. People have been telling him that I've wanted to fight him since day one, since I was 19 years old. I've been eyeing him up and really hungry for that fight. And I'm happy it's finally happening right now, because it was looking like that it's not going to happen at all, because he had turned down this fight multiple times. That's why I had to go to social media and start talking a little bit of smack towards this guy. So I'm happy he accepted the fight, and a lot of people want to see this.
Oh, that's interesting. So there was attempts to get this fight made before, but you almost felt like you had to goad the fight out of your opponent, almost?
Multiple times, including the last Unified that happened in Calgary.
Yeah, that must have been disappointing, like the different times you were campaigning for it, but probably leads to a reaction now where there's probably a sense of relief. Do you kind of feel that, like, just in the, even in the localized way of like, oh, this is a matchup I've wanted for a while and now it's finally locked in?
Yeah, and you know, I'm kind of reaching, maybe I'm reaching an age, and I don't have a lot of patience anymore, and I'm just not sugarcoating things anymore. I'm being blunt with everything that I want, with everything that I think. So I just came out, you know, started talking a little bit, and right away I was able to get this fight. So I guess it's a good thing.
Yeah, and that kind of sheds some light, or at least I think, because you had a post where you were saying that this fight is 5.5 years in the making. I guess that speaks to the, you know, peripheral awareness you've had with your opponent that you kind of outlined a bit earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been waiting for this for a while.
Yeah, I mean, a great test for, you know, both of you guys for sure. But I did want to touch on that last fight there, because I sort of like addressed it at the beginning there. Like, what was that moment like, just getting, you know, that kind of victory? It seemed like a comprehensive enough one, at least from my layman kind of perspective, like getting the first round striking based stoppage. And like we were saying, in the hometown, like, how did you feel overall about the performance and that particular night?
You know, that is probably one of the few performances of my career that I'm actually really happy with. I really think that fight went perfectly. For one, I didn't get hit even once in there. Well, he pushed me to the cage and he got a few out of position, out of posture strikes that did nothing. So I don't really count that. But other than that, I didn't get hit in that fight. And, you know, he was able to show his strong suit. He was able to shoot on me and press me against the cage, and I stayed calm. And I reversed him and knocked him out. It was a really long and hard training camp. I did a lot of rounds with Vegas, with a lot of high level people. I had quite a few injuries coming in, and there was a bit of pressure on that fight, just it being in my hometown and everything. So I was really happy that so many people so close to me got to see me fight in my city. It had been, I think, I don't know, maybe 5 years or so since I had fought in my city. And the first time I fought in my city, I fought in Calgary. I was 19 years old, and, you know, my peers were also the same age. At 19 years old, no one really has all that much money to spend on a ticket to go see Hard Knocks. It was, what, like $100? No one, not a lot of people at 19 were willing to make that sacrifice or had that much disposable money. So now that we're all older and people can actually come and see me fight, and they know what I'm doing, and they can all appreciate what I'm doing, it's a lot of a better feel.
Yeah, no, I get what you're laying down. That's a cool situation for you to be a part of. Glad there's more of that, I guess, partisan representation in the crowd. But you were talking about some of the great work you were able to get in Vegas. Were you out in Vegas for this particular camp here, or was the work more localized to the Calgary area?
No, this time around, it's just local. I'm just working in my gym with my regular training partners, my regular team.
I was going to say it is a stellar team, though, so I can definitely understand that for sure. But yeah, I mean, are you still getting in a lot of like collaborative work with like, you know, Showtime Group and like Anthony Pettis' management team there? Is that still kind of interwoven into what you're doing?
They're still managing me. There's not really, they were trying to get me out to their Showtime FC show or Anthony Pettis Fighting Championship show that's happening in November, but then I got offered this fight right at the right time, and it's better than anything that I would have wanted in the U.S., and it's a local fight, and I can get more sponsors, so this just made more sense. Otherwise, there's not really a whole lot that they'd be doing for me right now. I guess my manager helps me a little bit with my marketing side. I'll shoot him a message here and there, be like, hey, like, what do you think? Should I make my post like this? Should I make my post like this? He'll maybe give me some advice on what to include. So I guess that's what they're doing for me.
Yeah, no doubt. And like we were kind of, you know, talking about the Vegas work, like you kind of referenced it there. It seemed like an Extreme Couture MMA trek went down in the summer. Like it looks like you got in some good work with Jake Shields there. Can you kind of talk about that experience and the quality of work had there?
Yeah, so as far as Extreme Couture in Vegas goes, I actually, technique-wise, I got a bit better of the work in with Pettis' boxing coach. He also held mitts for, and continues to hold mitts for Tyson Fury and Andy Ruiz. So as far as technique goes, that was the place where I took a jump in technique and sort of how I fight my fight style. But from going to Vegas and going to places outside of my home team, that's good for sparring rounds. So it's good to get a lot of different high-level looks. It's good to be in a room where person is so they're pro sparring. Every single person is professional. If you're a two-time amateur champion, you're not allowed in that room. So it's pros only, and every third guy, it seems like, was fighting in the UFC or had fought in the UFC or Contender Series or something of the sort, maybe even half. So every single round was tough. There was no off rounds. It was really good for conditioning. So coming back, I was able to not even sweat going every single round against tough opponents in my gym and not needing to take sort of more relaxing rounds in between to recover. It pushed me to the next level in terms of my conditioning and sparring, and of course giving me the confidence that I can really hang with a lot of the top guys. And of course, Jake Shields gave me a few good technique pointers. He showed me some really good grappling controls.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, it sounds like great work was had. And yeah, I mean, getting to kind of like test where you're at and like the global scene, I imagine would pay dividends for the career. But you talk about it having direct benefits to some of the local work you've gotten in this particular camp. I would presume you're talking about getting in that Champions Creed training. And to that point, if that is the case, like, who are some of the usual people you're, you know, getting in that work with, like either like adjacent sparring partners who have fights they're preparing for, or adjacent training partners rather, and I guess also people you're directly getting in that sparring work with too? Can you speak to that?
Yeah, so one more thing, it's even with that Vegas fight camp, it was good to come back to Champions Creed. And for the last 3 weeks, you know, it's more of my team taking care of me and babying me a little bit, making sure I don't get injured, because there are a lot of rounds at Extreme Couture, even though they're good, it's wars, and you don't want to be getting into that too close to the fight.
Sure.
I would say maybe from 8 to 3 weeks, it's okay to have rounds like that, you know, maybe go out there for 4 weeks. But for the last 3 weeks, it was definitely good that I came to Champs and, you know, kind of wind down my training camp over here. It was a really good setup. But for sparring partners out here, of course, Hakeem Dawoodu, Chad and Helliger, been sparring with those guys their whole careers, or whole UFC careers, and even a bit before that. The pros and the team, Nick LeBlanc, he's also fighting on the Unified card. Chris Bryan just got his first pro win. Matt Larson, he recently joined our team maybe a year ago. Really good striker, good size. Good work I get in with him. I really like my striking work with him. We help each other out a lot. You know, he helps me on the striking side of things. I help him on the grappling side of things. A really good teammate of mine. And, of course, the amateurs, like up-and-coming guys. We have Josh Fox, Ethan Chung, Yan. Yan Tuna just got his second first-round knockout win on the last Absolute card. And, you know, a lot more guys. A lot more guys. We got emerging... PJ Mitchell, he was giving me some good work in the grappling yesterday. Kid's only 17, but he's already fighting amateur. So we got some good up-and-coming talent at our gym for sure. And I'm happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, for sure. It seems like a great community. I mean, such a great fight town in Champions Creed. Just, you know, such a prolific kind of gym there. So happy to hear you've been able to get in that quality of work. And I guess I'm curious, because as we've been kind of talking through this chat, you seem very acutely aware of your opponent and have been for quite a while now. I guess to that point, like in terms of his stylistic proclivities, like what would you say he really does well in the cage?
He's got a few things he does well. I think stylistically I'm better, and I think skill-wise I'm better. I'm stronger. I'm more mentally tough. I'm better just everywhere, really. Everywhere I'm better than this guy. However, he is dangerous in a few things. There's a few grappling things that I won't speak on. And really, only one striking thing. I'll say that. He's got a good right hand. He's got a good right hand. Otherwise, other than that, I don't really respect his striking. I think I'm a much more dynamic fighter than he is in the striking department. I think I'm heavier on the ground. I'm stronger on the ground. I know pretty much everything he does. I've been watching this guy for years. The only thing that not even worries me, but I have to be wary of, is I'm not sure if he's doing this training camp with Justin Basra and Ali Sharkey. You know, two guys that are tough, I got respect for. Justin's wrestling super high level, very strong. If he is working with them and he's getting good rounds. Look, I know Shawn Michaels is a tough guy and you can't count him out. And at any point of the fight, he's dangerous. Like I said, that right hand. And also, I know that he sparred a lot with those guys, so he'd be getting beat up a lot in the wrestling. So he's used to losing a lot and not breaking completely. So it's going to be a hard guy to break. And if he's training still with Justin and Ali, I got to be really wary of him at all moments of the fight to not relax and not let him gain any momentum in this fight.
Yeah, for sure. I also kind of appreciate his nickname too, HBK, like in reference to Shawn Michaels, him being Shawn Michael. I think that's kind of fun. What do you think about that? Do you appreciate the quality of the nickname or not so much?
No, I think that's stupid. Look, this guy goes by the name of Shawn Michael, but that's not his real name. You know, it's a grown man looking, trying to create a false identity. He came into the MMA world and told everyone his name is Shawn Michaels. That's not even his real name. It's Sean Maywatch. That's like me looking up to some other fictional character. Let's say Spider-Man. You know, I like Spider-Man, so I'm not going to tell everyone my name is Ramil Kamilov, the name my parents gave me and my family name. I'm not going to use that. You know what? I'm going to go into MMA, and I'm going to tell everyone my name is Peter Parker. I think that's the equivalent of that. So that's what I think about that. His name is Sean Nagwash.
Yeah, well, you yourself don't really seem like a nickname kind of guy. Like, on none of the aggregators is it really, like, showing that. So, yeah, kind of interesting for sure. I admittedly didn't even know that before the interview. Like, I've known...
It's the real deal, you know, that's just what it is.
I guess that kind of is derivative, though, of, like, what we're talking about, though, in a certain sense. Just you talk about more the authenticity and thinking your opponent is being inauthentic. So, in a sense, you being real deal is, like, you know, right, like, finger on the pulse, I would think it sounds.
Absolutely, yeah. Good point.
Yeah, very interesting in a lot of regards there. I guess I don't think I've ever asked you, like, where did that moniker come from? Did someone give that to you at a certain point in time? Like, is there a bit of a backstory on that?
Yeah, I was just sitting there, 16 years old, at my buddy's house, Kirk, and then his dad... met me for the first time, and he's like, Ramil, he's a super witty guy, and right away, just off the bat, he says, the real deal, Ramil. It's kind of stuck since then, but you know, there's so many fighters out here with the name Real Deal. Even just in Alberta alone, we got Ryan Ford, we got Neil Berry, and we had, rest in peace, how am I forgetting his name, the Edmonton fighter, Ryan Jimmel. Ryan Big Deal Jimmel.
Oh, yeah.
So we already have that many real deals just in our province, so I just had to make a Mr. Real Deal because it's just that much more up there.
Yeah, I can get that, like, differentiate it a little bit, but you're still part of, like, a certain kind of tradition in a bit of a way. I think that's kind of cool for sure, but yeah, I guess one of the things that I wanted to touch on lastly here, you strike me as a guy that, like, kind of has, like, a lot of goals and plans things out in a certain way, and just with this fight being situated on the 2nd of December, like, obviously you're not overlooking this specific task per se, but do you have a certain desired outline for how you would like 2023 to unfold, and as far as, like, desired places you would like to train, total amount of fights, etc.?
I'd like to sign with that Big Five organization, start making actual money, and I'll be staying in Calgary, you know. I like the city. I like my training over here. I like my team. But I would like to probably maybe go to Vegas a little bit more just for the sparring rounds. But like I said, for the last few weeks of camp while I'm winding down, come back. And this is all relative to how my team's doing. You know, if my team's prepping for fights, I'm kind of staying back here, helping everyone out. Hopefully it just aligns in such a way where other people aren't training for fights at the time I gotta go out to Vegas and get other sparring rounds in, because I give good work for everyone. Everyone's there for me. It's kind of gotta go full circle out here.
Yeah, no, that's a good mentality to have with it, and I can understand where you're coming from with that. But yeah, it sounds like a lot of great things are on the horizon there, and, you know, chief among them this next fight. And I do appreciate you coming on the show to give some insights ahead of such a obviously high stakes clash you have here, but I do want to be mindful of your schedule and everything for the rest of the day too, Ramil. So to that point, is there maybe anything you'd like to kind of add as a parting thought as we're wrapping up here, man?
Yeah, I'd like to tell Michaels to stop being a pussy and unblock me on Instagram. I want to see a pussy when I log in and scroll through my feed. So if you're listening to this, unblock me.
How long has that been going on for? Like, since the fight got announced, or even a bit longer?
Yeah, since it got announced.
That's very interesting. Training in a bit of a secretive kind of dynamic a little bit, in a sense, but we'll see how this fight plays out and everything like that. Clearly two guys who are locked in, looking to go 4-0 there on December the 2nd at Unified MMA 47. So yeah, very much was excited for this fight before talking, but the excitement compounded from you giving your insights there, man. But yeah, thanks so much for coming on the show again, to reiterate, and just you enjoy the rest of your day, and looking forward to checking out the fight when it goes down too, man.
All right, thanks for having me, Dylan. You have a good day.